Welcome to The Next Track, a podcast about how people listen to music today. I'm Doug Adams.
And I'm Kirk McElhern.
We self-produce The Next Track podcast and want to keep it ad-free, so we rely on contributions from listeners for support. You can help us by making a regular donation via Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thenexttrack. And thanks. Couple 2-3 weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, you texted me and you inquired of me, do you have any problems with the CDs in the music player on your Apple computer? And I said, quickly, no, why no? As a matter of fact, I was just ripping a CD. And I said, why? And you said, well, there's a bunch of people who can't play
the music app
CDs when they are on the music player.
The formerly known as iTunes Music App.
The music app, yeah, the music app. I don't want to forget the music player. I wonder what that is. So you told me that you've been experiencing this phenomenon, that you can't play CDs. The first thing I thought of was how poetic. Is I remember 25 years ago, I was asking, why the hell would you want to play a CD on a computer? I have a whole other room and all kinds of expensive gear set up, ready to play CDs whenever I want them. And yet, there's, oh boy, I think I'll play a CD on my computer. And then the other thing that shocked me after that, which is somewhat related, is I was at a radio station and one of our interns, I've told this story before, he was bragging about how he was able to rip all of his, he imported all of his CD music onto his laptop. And I'm like, why the hell do you want to do that? Do what I do. Just carry a few CDs around with you and you can play them, because I always had a CD player with me, whether it was a portable or whether I was going to be working with one or had one at home. So, and here we are at a point where now the only way I pretty much listen to music is from a computer, and I still listen to CDs and LPs, but here you are with the music app, and you can't play CDs on it. It's almost like this is not something that they're planning to do. This is a bug. In fact, let me tell you what happened. You'll be pleased to hear this. When you asked me that question, I sent you a screenshot of here's the CD mounted in the music app, but I couldn't get it to eject. I hit all the eject buttons that there are, and there's only two. There's one in the left sidebar of the music app where the CD would be listed, and then there's one in the what I would call the browser window, the header of the browser window. Neither of them did anything at all. So when you click on a song to play it, nothing happens. When you click on eject, nothing happens. I went to look in the Finder. The CD was not listed in the Finder either. So I couldn't eject it from the Finder. And I said, well, now I have a paperclip that I've unbent that I could easily stick into my drive to force the CD to be ejected. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to see if the computer would somehow recognize it and eject it, and it didn't. So the old thing we used to do is you just turn off the Mac, right? You shut it down, and it used to be, I seem to recall, that the CD would kick out. So maybe it'll do that. It didn't, but it remounted, and I was able to play the CD. I went back to it this morning because I wanted to tell this great story to you. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. One of the interesting things that happened after I relaunched, was that in the music app, there were two CDs listed of the same CD. There was like a ghost CD. And I don't know. I only clicked on one of them. And when I played a track from the one that I picked, that's what played. Now, I don't know if they were... I don't know. Were they referring to the same data? Was it, as I said, ghost data, something that was somehow left behind? But it definitely seemed like the system does not understand what an audio CD is. That's what it looks like. But on the other hand, you said you got VLC to play it.
Okay, so this is the longest opening monologue you've ever done in an Extract podcast. We should do this as a cold open and run the credits now, like they do on Saturday Night Live, on tape from wherever. This is the next track. So let me just outline my problem, because your first thought is user error, right? I tried with two CD drives on two Macs. So I have an old Super Drive and I have a Pioneer Blu-ray drive that I've had for a long time, and I use it to rip CDs, and it's always worked. I tried on my iMac, then I tried on my MacBook Air. I could rip the CD on any of them. I could play the CD with VLC, but I couldn't play with the music app. Then I Googled, as one does when one has troubleshooting issues, and I saw a bunch of people on the Apple forums who said that they can't get them to play either. When you tried, after you first said, well, of course I see the CD, and then I said, yeah, but can you play it? And you said, oh, wait, I can't play it. Now, I asked some other people, some my fellow Take Control authors, and not many people replied because, A, most of them don't have CD players or even Macs with internal or external, and B, maybe they don't even have CDs. So one person said, yes, I can play it, no problem. So this is not a bug that's affecting everyone. I find it interesting that you couldn't eject yours. I had no problem ejecting mine. That ghost thing I've seen occasionally, but that wasn't my problem. I want to go back to why I want to play CDs again. And so actually what I ended up doing is bought a CD player. We'll talk about that later. I want to play CDs because, yes, most of what I listen to is digitized. It's Apple Music. It's in my library. But I have these big box sets of music that I've bought. I have the complete Bach and Beethoven and Mozart and Dietrich Fischer-Dieskau and Alfred Brendel and Glenn Gould, et cetera, et cetera, and a bunch of King Crimson and Robert Fripp box sets that I bought a few years ago. And I want to listen to these without having to rip every disc. And if I have to rip a disc before I want to listen to it, that's dukkha, right?
Well, also, I think, what are the chances that you're going to listen to these again? Let's face it, there's not a lot of time left for either one of us. And so we've got to be cautious about how we spend our music listening time. And, you know, you've got all these great collections and you definitely want to hear them. But are you going to want to hear them again, yeah, like 15 years from now? Or we don't know.
No, I might want to play several of the discs multiple times, because in the complete Bach, there are some wonderful recordings that I don't have that might not be on Apple Music. The complete Fischer-Dieskau, I want to go through his work. Right? I want to listen to all his Schubert, all his Schumann, all of, you know, different types of things. And the King Crimson and Fripp boxes have a lot of live recordings. So no, I won't want to listen to them often, but I do want to sample them, right? The problem is, no, Apple is not eliminating the ability to play CDs in a computer with an attached drive. They would never do that because, well, then you couldn't rip it. A lot of people still buy CDs to rip them, right? It's a bug. I'm not going to bother contacting Apple support, because my experience with Apple support in the last few years is you spend 45 minutes of them trying to figure out what's going on. Then they bump you up to level 2, and level 2 says, I'll put this through to our engineers and get back to you. And they never get back to you. And I've had several cases like that where they send you an email, reply, and I'll call you back, and I reply, and they never call me back. Apple support is broken. It's severely broken. I don't know if this is international or just here, that usually goes through their center in Cork, Ireland, but it's seriously broken once you get up to level 2 support.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, so I'm not going to bother. And I was looking at a CD player, and I was looking at a NAD CD player, and you said, oh, that's the one I have. So we now have matching CD drives. I haven't hooked it up yet. I just got it this morning. Before we started, I was moving speakers around. I'm going to hook it up after we finish, and I'm going to play a CD. I'm going to take a box set down from my storage room and play a CD.
Just like in the 90s.
Just like in the 80s. Come on.
Yeah.
I had my first CD player, I believe it was 1987. I was working teaching English in a catering school outside Paris. And so they were teaching.
Are you reading this from a novel?
No. I'm just trying to situate the time. So this was a school I worked where they were teaching teenagers to be chefs and pastry chefs and waiters and all of that. And someone who worked there, was one of the teachers, was married to someone who worked for Philips, was able to get a discount on CD players. These were 86, 87. I'm not sure exactly when it was. This is the early days when CD players were still new. And I remember I bought my first two CDs. And it was Bach's Goldberg Variations by Trevor Pinnock and Beethoven's Ninth Symphony conducted by Günter Wand. And I still have both of them. And of course, after that, you buy more and you buy more and you buy more. But they were expensive. And there weren't many places selling them in those early years.
Yeah, it's true. They didn't. It took a little while. I remember at the radio station, we tried to get onto CDs as quickly as possible because one of the big sponsors that we had was a record store, and they wanted to sell CDs. So every night, we played a CD on the radio.
whole disc all the way through.
The whole disc all the way through. It wasn't unusual to play a full album on the radio.
No.
But we played the full CD. We made a big deal about the clarity and all that stuff. Not that it made any difference. The processing on the radio station ruined it anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how slow adoption was. There wasn't, we needed to kind of prime the pump, as it were, with listeners, because people had records. Why would they want to buy a CD? But anyway, you haven't tried that CD player yet. I have to say, do you know what NAD stands for?
I did know, but I can't think of it offhand.
It's something weird like New Audio Dimension or New Audio Directions or something.
According to Google, it's nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide.
No. That's another NAD.
That's a different NAD? Let's see. What does NAD stand for audio? New Acoustic Dimension.
New Acoustic Dimensions. That's what it is. It sounds like they wanted the word NAD, and they had to come up with something that NAD stood for. It was originally a Swedish company, Norwegian company, Finnish company?
No, it was founded in England in 1972.
Oh, maybe it started in England, then it went somewhere else. Now it's in Canada. It's owned by a Canadian company.
It was acquired by the Danish firm Audio Nord in 1991 and sold in 1999 to the Lenbrook Group of Pickering, Ontario, Canada.
NAD's always been fairly well esteemed. They're a decent manufacturer.
They're quite creative. They have a couple of amplifiers that are an interesting form factor. And, you know, taking the CD player out of the boxes, why is everything the same width now that things have gotten smaller and smaller, right? They have that fixed width that is never going to change. But NAD does have two amplifiers that can go vertically or horizontally. There are a couple of companies. I was looking up CD players, and there's one called Tangent, I believe, is a Danish company, and they sell one that's about half the width of a normal CD player. And I'm looking at the reviews on Amazon, and people are saying it inserts gaps between tracks. How can that even be legal? There must be a law against selling a CD player that does that.
I don't know how they can allow such a thing.
You know, we had the issue with gaps and gapless with digital audio, and that was resolved. But in a CD player, it's actually pausing or something, which is just ridiculous.
Well, I wonder if it's reading the data. Well, I don't know. Who cares? I don't know. I'm not an expert on this anymore. I used to.
But that was the only one I could find that was not the full width, because I don't need something that's the full width. And there are amplifiers that are smaller. I believe Marantz is one of the ones that were the first to have these amplifiers. Full power amplifiers are about 2/3 the width of a normal stereo.
Would you say they're a half rack? You know what I mean? You know how wide a rack is?
No, they're not half rack. No, they're not. They're more like 2/3 rack.
Okay.
Interestingly. But anyway, I settled for this because it's an ad and it's got buttons on the front and it's got a little display and everything. And it's, you know, I did not want to spend a lot of time looking for a CD player, of which there are not many available at the low end of prices.
No, and there's not much really that needs to be done with them, especially when you're going to use this as what we call a transport, right?
I'm actually not, because I'm connecting it to my Sonos amp, which doesn't have an optical in. So this CD player does have an optical out, both Toslink and coax, but the Sonos amp that I use does not have an optical in. So I'll use the onboard DAC on the CD player.
I've never listened to it.
The fact that it is a transport is more than what you get in most low-end CD players that don't have their own built-in DAC.
Yeah, that's what I use it for. I take the coax out and I bypass all of that stuff. And that's why it's called a transport.
Well, presumably, I mean, we can't hear the difference between DACs.
No.
And so,
but it seemed, to me, know, it says not, it's, to me, there's just one less thing between the sound on the CD and the sound coming out of the speakers if it doesn't go through the DAC.
Yeah.
But it's going to go through a DAC anyway. I mean, I don't, you know, you're looking at me as if I'm out of my mind. Am I?
I'm just saying. I'm looking on Richer Sounds, which is a site where I bought some stuff. I didn't buy this from Richer Sounds. They actually don't sell it. In the UK, it's a company called Seven Oaks, which is NAD's distributor in the UK. And they're the only ones who seem to sell them in the UK. And they also have bundles with, like, CD player and an amp. And I was thinking, do I want to get a NAD amp as well? You can save £200 off it. And I was like, no, I don't need it. Just the CD player is fine. Gear acquisition syndrome, right?
See, now, wasn't it just a couple of weeks ago? This is it in action. You know, this is anecdotal evidence that something tripped up and you got excited about getting CDs working right in your house. And then I have vicarious gear acquisition syndrome, because I'm excited that you're buying the CD player that I have, which I must say I really like. To use the parlance of the reviewers, it's clean and robust. It provides a clean and robust sound, which is all I ask for from a CD player.
Well, I had a CD player for a long time, and I sold it a couple of years ago on eBay because I wasn't using it a lot. It was more than 10 years old, and I wasn't worried about that, but it was just old enough, and it was I could sell it enough used, because it was CD and Blu-ray. It was an old Cambridge Audio. I could sell it for enough money used that it was worth selling it.
Yeah. Yeah, Cambridge Audio would definitely hold its value.
You know how it is with me and eBay. We've talked about this many times.
Yeah, when you get a new device, you will look for ways of paying for it, selling older equipment, which it makes sense to me.
Yeah, you just put them in the closet.
Yeah, I pretty much do. It's fun to go in there. It's like, oh, my little museum. Hello. I could have. Yeah, but the NAD is really great. The NAD integrated amp that they were selling as a package, which was something that you were considering.
Yeah.
That's a really neat little thing. It's very minimal. It's about two-thirds the size of an amp. And it's only got two buttons.
That's the one that can go horizontal or vertical.
It's got two buttons, volume and source, and that's it. And in my opinion, that's all you want. All I ever wanted for the longest time was a big crown amp. You know, just plug stuff into it and the speakers come out. And there wasn't anything at the consumer level like that. But now you can get those kinds of things. They're great. I have them. I prefer them.
NAD has very attractive products. They have one that they just came out with. First, they came out with a limited edition for the 50th anniversary of the company. And then they've made a non-limited edition of the same thing. And it's got VU meters. And it's got that wood finish around it. And that just makes me want to, you know.
They know it. They know those VU meters will grab us.
Yeah. Even if you're never going to really look at them, but it's just knowing that they're there, right?
I think so, yeah. It looks like there's something going on.
Well, it's true. It shows that your music is alive. I'll put a link in the show notes. It's the NAD C3050. And it looks like a 70s amp. And it's got all the connections you need on the back. And it's got those two VU meters with a kind of a light orange light, not like Macintosh where it's blue, right? This is a light orange, which is more conducive to listening in a dark room, because one of the problems with those Macintosh is that bright blue light is just bright blue.
Right? I've never been in a room with them, but whenever you see the ads,
I've seen them in TV shows.
Right, exactly, that sort of thing. Currently, there's a car commercial running that uses Macintosh car audio system, and it's before you even know that it's Macintosh, you see the blue VUs, and it's a bit too much.
In a car.
What are you going to do? The gold is nice, though, that gold. In a car, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's probably not legal, is it?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Lights in your car, I think you can do whatever you want in your car. The privacy of your own car is perfectly
fine. I've never actually seen one, but where I have seen it...
In the wild.
Where I have seen it is in the Amazon TV series Bosch, based on the books by Michael Connelly.
Right.
I'll link to our interview with Michael Connelly that we did in 2020. It was interesting because jazz is a big thing for his character, and he said he didn't really know it very much, but he got into it, and he eventually made a documentary about some jazz musician. The name escapes me right now. So the Bosch character, he had made a bunch of money because he sold the rights to a story he did that a film was made. This is in the series, and he made a bunch of money. And he lives in this sort of cantilever house above Los Angeles. If you've ever seen the movie Heat, it's the same house that was used in Heat. And he's got this Macintosh amp, and he's got vinyl and big speakers and the whole thing. That's part of the image of the character.
Right. Although, strangely, Michael Connelly did not know anything about equipment or anything. He just bought, I believe he said he just bought some stuff used and that's what he
wasn't really a music fan, which surprised me, because when we spoke with Peter Robinson, who was a huge music fan, he was always into music and gear and everything. He had tons and tons of vinyl and CDs and cassette, everything. And Michael Connelly, who has jazz in the things, like, well, it just kind of stuck it in because it felt good to have, you know, that sort of film noir jazz type thing.
Does Bosch have a CD player?
No criticism. I love his books.
Does Bosch have a CD player? Does he have a NAD like we do?
I don't recall. I think it was all vinyl.
Oh, right. It would have been all vinyl. But yeah.
In the TV series, I don't remember in the books. In any case, I recommend the novels if you like mysteries. He's one of the better mystery authors working today, and there's so many of them. There's like 30 novels. A lot to read. So is the CD revival real?
I think it really is. I we've talked about this before, and this reminds me of a tweet I saw the other day. All 214 of Taylor Swift's songs rated from worst to best. And I'm like, does everything have to be a hierarchy? You can have records, and you can have CDs, and you can listen to music on your computer. There's no one best solution. I found that for casual listening, streaming is fine. For the stuff that I really like, I will buy it on CD. I love to buy collections. Like when a lot of these reissues of albums come out, I like getting the CD because it's got more stuff on it. It's got more literature in it, and it's got some fun stuff in it. So I think the CD is going to stick around. LPs? I don't know. LPs? I don't know.
I think no matter what, it's marginal, and it's going to remain marginal. And there is... So the vinyl thing, as we've discussed, is mostly merch. I think something like 50% of people never play them. And you can buy these wall mounts to put your records on. And remember back in the day, we didn't do that. We put posters up on the wall. Why would you put a record on the wall, right? And so people, it's kind of, I don't remember what I was watching recently on TV. And I realized that my teenage years were now the era that is in what's called historical TV series and films, you know, these historical documents. We're old enough that our past is history. So young people are seeing LPs like Stranger Things. That series on Netflix was set in the 80s, and that probably got a lot of people interested. Ooh, they're all listening to LPs. And so you get the people buying them, and some of them buy turntables and maybe listen to them a few times. Interestingly, you've got USB turntables, which means you can plug the turntable into a computer, which means you don't have to have an amp with a phono stage and then go through speakers, and, you know, it's a little bit easier.
How do those sound? Have you ever heard one like that?
No, I don't know. But it means it's got a built-in DAC. And if you buy one from a good company, it's probably pretty good. I think Cambridge Audio, for example, sells one like that packaged with a bargain amp, and you get the whole thing for like £500, which, not cheap, but...
Well, I mean, $500 is... Well, do they give you the speakers too? The speakers included?
No, probably not. I'll have to look that up. If I can find something as a good example of an entry-level, decent quality package system, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, because I wouldn't... I mean, I don't want to spend $1,000, but I might go as high as $600 or $700.
But you've got speakers.
Well, wait a minute. I already have it. I already have all the gear. Yeah. So it's like, why? How would I know what to get if I didn't already have the gear? But of course I have the gear.
Well, you go to a site...
Like, I've never not had the gear.
You go to a site like the Wirecutter, which is going to tell you how to play vinyl.
Yeah, I suppose. Right. Yeah.
I'll link in the show notes. I think the Wirecutter has a thing, you know, what you need to play vinyl. The Wirecutter is a very good test site that's owned by the New York Times. I often go there when I'm looking for kitchen equipment, you know, that kind of thing where they've tested for years and years and years.
Bed sheets. Got my bed sheets based on their recommendation.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that. Well, they're US-based, so I can't find bed sheets here that they would recommend, but... They test a lot of different things that sometimes you might be surprised. And if you're looking, I'll sometimes just search, okay, I need to buy this. I'll do best whatever. Best kitchen tongs.
Yeah.
And I ended up buying a pair of OXO Good Grips kitchen tongs, which are the best kitchen tongs I've ever owned, because you have to have kitchen tongs, right?
I have three of them, different sizes.
Yeah,
a little one, medium size, long ones. In case you're, you know, cooking lobster or something, or you go, I don't know. Actually, I wanted it for the little ones.
Cooking lobster, that's like listening to vinyl.
Yeah,
right?
I guess so, yeah. I guess
it's like, that's how often you'd be doing
it. Well, it's Patriots Day here in Massachusetts. We're recording this on the 15th of, it's also Tax Day. It's also Trump Day. But it's
Patriots Day and Tax Day and Trump Trial
Day. It's amazing. It's like the...
What a trifecta.
And we had an eclipse not too long ago.
And an earthquake.
And we had, yeah, so it's all happening. It's all happening right now. But Patriots Day, this is where we celebrate the shot heard around the world or something. Is that what it is? The Lexington, Concord battles.
Wasn't that a home run?
Oh, no, no,
that
no.
someone hit in the 50s?
No. This was...
Okay. Is that the day that you have the marathon in Boston?
Yes, the Boston Marathon is today as well. It's not just right. in Boston.
It must be an awfully small state then.
Well, Massachusetts is a little place, 26 miles. No, I don't know where they... It's 26 miles, right? Isn't that a marathon?
Yeah.
So and, wherever 26 and some, miles from...
Some yards, yeah.
Yeah, yeah some yards. Yeah.
Should we move on to next track picks?
Yeah, good idea.
I pulled out some... I did the digital equivalent of pulling out something to listen to over the weekend that I haven't listened to in a while. I believe I picked it already. It's the original soundtrack recording of Girl from the North Country that was released in 2017. It's the musical based on Bob Dylan songs that I was fortunate to attend in London at the Old Vic Theatre. And I was just thinking about it as I was listening to it. Not all of the songs are really well known, but a lot of them are. And it was a really creative way to weave Dylan songs into a story and make them, give them a narrative across all these songs. For instance, there's one point where someone is singing Hurricane and then they segue into All Along the Watchtower, then Idiot Wind, all this in about 5 minutes. So a couple verses of each one. It was really creatively done. I think what the impetus was is there was an article in The Guardian about Shirley Henderson, who is an actress, and she was one of the people I saw in this. Shirley Henderson's the one that played Moaning Myrna, something like that in the Harry Potter movies. She's relatively short. She's got a bit of a squeaky voice, but she has a wonderful singing voice. And seeing this article about her reminded me that she was very good on stage singing, so I put this on. This also has Kieran Hines, which you might not know who he is, but he was the Russian president in one of those Tom Clancy movies, I think The Sum of All Fears. He's got a big head and he's a big guy. He only sang in one song at the end, not a very good singer, but he was excellent in his role. So it's Girl from the North Country, the original London cast recording. I believe there might be a recording of the US version as well. If I can find it, I'll put a link in the show notes. Doug, what have you got?
I've got a solo album by Thurston Moore, and you may know Thurston Moore as one of the founders of Sonic Youth. I am not a big Sonic Youth fan, even after listening to more Thurston Moore. I still haven't really gone back and picked up on Sonic Youth. I really like Thurston Moore, though. He's like a lot of guitar players. I don't know. He reminds me a little of Bob Mould and Josh Homme and people like that. He does, I wouldn't say experimental rock, but he doesn't, his solo stuff does not sound too different from Sonic Youth. But he, well, he's got some interesting ideas. He writes politically. He does environmental protest stuff. He's very interesting point of view. This particular album, By the Fire, is interesting in that it came out in 2020. It's interesting in that he's one of the few rock people, I think, that has taken some time and created a 9-song album over 80 minutes and taken the time to do some long-form stuff. You just don't hear a lot of that stuff nowadays. You used to hear it a lot more, I think. But I'm glad he did this. This is this has got some really great, catchy little things on it, but they are extended, and they're fun to listen to. My favorite song on the album is the first one, called Hashish. It's only 6 minutes long, but there are some on here that are 10, 12, 16 minutes long. It's really interesting if you like experimental, not so traditional, not so pop rock music, done by Thurston Moore. By the Fire is my next track. This was episode number 280 of The Next Track. Thank you for listening. You can start or join a conversation in the comment section of this episode's show page at our website. You'll also find links to some of the things we talked about in the show notes for this episode. All you got to do is visit thenexttrack.com. And we hope you'll support The Next Track by making a regular donation via Patreon. We're ad-free and self-sustaining, so we depend on listener support of our Patreon patrons, and we can always use a new patron. Visit patreon.com/thenexttrack. I'm Doug Adams, and for Kirk McElhern, thanks again. We'll talk to you next time.